Nasi Fizwane back with another episode of Sledge Underground, and today I've got one of the biggest artists in the country and I'm super excited. It's Money Badu, aka Jade Alves. Now, Alves is a Portuguese surname, obviously. Now, I want to know if you have any ties to Portugal.
Yeah, I guess, you know, my relatives are from all over the place, to be honest.
How far back does it go, though? I mean, obviously, you were raised in Johannesburg. How much of your family history do you actually know?
To be honest, I don't know a lot. I wish I knew more. But yeah, I'm from Jersey. I'm a color girl. And all my ancestors are mixed race, you know what I mean? So the surname is from my dad's side, of course. And yeah. One of his grandfathers or great granddaddies, they probably took a boat somewhere.
It's really interesting that you mentioned your father, actually. You know, considering that you are an artist, is he supportive, you know, of that?
Yeah, definitely. I think everyone in my family is. And I'm really lucky that both my parents are super supportive. And I guess they've just seen the process, you know what I mean? So I've managed to convince them with everything I've done so far. I guess the one thing that they were like scared about was that they necessarily didn't understand the industry that I was getting into and just saw it from what it was on the outside and was like, we're not sure if it's something that makes money, especially in the country that we live in, and how safe it is, especially for a female. But they understood it's something that I really loved and that I was going after my passion more than anything, more than the money or even caring if it was safe or not, which I know, which is really whack to say. But, you know, when you're passionate about anything and you're like, nothing can stand in your way. So you don't really care about anything. You're like, nah, I'm going to go after this no matter what.
Beautiful. Tell me about Innerdale, Johannesburg. I mean, I'm not really a well-traveled person. I mean, considering that I stay in Durban, I've only ever been to Johannesburg. So how was it growing up, you know, in Innerdale?
So I grew up in Innerdale. Yeah, it's like predominantly, I wouldn't say colored, but I guess definitely a colored community. And POC, so there was probably like one white person in the whole community. And so I guess that's what I was super used to, you know what I mean? I didn't really know what is the difference until I got into like Joburg scene. It's like, oh, okay. So there's like colored people and then mixed race. And like, I thought that everything was just one thing, you know what I mean? So I guess like I kind of grew up not sheltered per se, but thinking that everything was the way it was where I was. But yeah, a big culture shock. But I will say that it was a good thing that I got to get out of that mindset, because I realized how much more there is to life and how important it is to see every aspect of what's out there. But I did grow up really safe. And I think that is also because of my family and not necessarily where I grew up. I think I grew up like extremely sheltered from the world. So
yeah. And how supportive, you know, is the community back in Innerdale, you know, since the blow up?
I don't think I've blown up. I don't think I've blown up at all. I'm not really for certain what blow up. Maybe like in another parallel universe, but I don't think I've blown up yet. Also, the blow up theory is so, it's a bit condensed to me, because it's like, is it like the success? What makes it like followers? Like what? But I think that I haven't reached that point yet, because I feel like I still have so far to go. I still have so many things that I want to accomplish that I haven't yet. So it's like, I'm not even touching base yet. I got like my one foot in the water. I'm like dabbling my feet and I'm trying to be like a scuba diver inside. So I think that to answer your question, I think because I grew up there, a lot of my close friends and people that knew me from like school and stuff support me. But there will come a time where I'll be able to really say and really show and really do more for the community that I came from. And I don't just expect them to like back me or anybody to just back me because I'm doing what I love to do. You know what I mean? I think that I can't actually wait to be in the position to do more for the community, even the country that I'm in, the city that I'm from. I can't wait to do more. I can't wait to give back. And so to anyone that's been supporting me thus far, I'm like so appreciative, no matter where you're from, even if you know me from Annadale, or if you don't know me at all and just like, wow, this is so creative, or this is so cool, and I love this. Like, I'm just so appreciative of like anyone being a part of this journey with me. And I can't wait to get to a place where I can showed that love back in more ways than just saying thank you.
Yeah, and obviously blowing up is, it must be a subjective thing, obviously, because it means, you know, success means different things to different people. So obviously besides giving back, you know, with more than just saying thank you, what else would you say, you know, defines success or the blow up, you know, according to Money Badu?
When I can travel the world, tour the world even, not just travel, but be able to tour and like in different cities, even in SA, and hear crowds of people singing my music back to me. I think that's definitely the ultimate version of success to me, or blowing up, you know what I mean? And I feel like it's baby steps. If you see yourself doing this like forever and you see yourself building a legacy, it looks overnight, but it definitely isn't just an overnight thing. It definitely looks like that from the outside because of the internet and because of like how literally social media has like its role in making overnight successes, you know what I mean? But I think to a lot of people that have been doing this for a long time know that it's taken years of building. And so the blow up is bigger than just people knowing you. It's more like your experience and defining your life and really changing your life, you know, being in a place where you're like, I never, ever thought that these things could happen to me or for me because of what I'm doing. So I think those things are really important and stick out to me, you know. When I can buy my mama a house while touring the world, I know I can be like, okay, blew up just a little.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point that you bring up there about social media making things look, you know, very much, you know, glitz and glam and such. We always see the final product. And if someone had to look at your Instagram, for example, you know, it's very clean, you know, very presentable. I wouldn't say I've seen any sort of, you know, rags to riches, you know, type dynamics, you know, within your pages. Now, is there any reason behind you not maybe sharing, you know, those aspects that come before, you know, the finished product? Is it maybe someone else running the page? Is it maybe pressure from, you know, other forces that maybe don't allow you to show that side? You know, what is it exactly?
I don't think that I'm not showing that, though. I think that I am clean. And anytime that I'm going to put my foot forward and anything that I do, I make sure it's of quality. And so it's not that I'm not showing the process. That's ultimately the process is everything that I'm showing, you know. One day it will be bigger. One day it will be on a cover of Vogue or, you know, another world. Like the content will be crazy than what it is right now. Now it's just like me doing my best to be and using the resources that I have to be as creative as I can and put quality forward, you know. So I think people get confused you're showing us a different you and then a story, but your Instagram is so clean. It's like, I make sure that's part of my brand. It's part of even how I make money as a musician. You know what I mean? Of course it's going to be clean. I make sure that I go through hell and back to make sure that the minute you look up anything that I'm doing or you're looking for content or you're catching up with the type of content that I'm trying to bring to your eyes, that it's the best. And that's part of my process, you know what I mean? I can't be like showing you me in pajamas in my room chilling. Like, I don't think that's really my aesthetic at all. And that's not Money Badu's world. You know, I'm money. So, yeah, I run my page, everything. I'm the creative director. I'm the stylist. I'm everything that you're seeing. So that's why it looks the way it looks. It's because I'm involved in every single aspect of that. And I'm not just run by some big ass label trying to put me in a box to make me seem like I'm somebody else. Nah, that's everything I've always been, right to the bottom. If you don't look at the process, go to the bottom of my page and then go up from there and see how much I've grown.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. I completely understand it, especially with the way that you've explained it. But I guess what I'm trying to get at here is, like, are you telling me that your very first track, you know, was just as good as, say, for example, Pistol Pop? You know, have you always kept it, or have things always been at that sort of top level for you, you know, from the jump?
No, definitely not. I don't think anybody does something and it's just like, I've always been this great. Like, look back at like Doja Cat, you know what I mean? Like, we love her first music and we love the aesthetic, but has it been of the quality as that it is right now in terms of like engineering or the master? No. Because you start off so small. I recorded my first song in my friend's room on a YouTube beat. There's no way you can I can say that. You know what I mean? But that's the process. That's how that's part of the growth, you know. And even as a business, you don't just start off as becoming McDonald's, the franchise. It's like you start off as a little small company, you know. And once that becomes successful, you can be like, there can be two stores and then three and then four maybe. And, you know, it's everything's a process. And so, no, I definitely don't think that the first songs that I made were of quality the same way they are right now. But the ideas were definitely of quality. And the intention was definitely there. I knew what I wanted to be. I knew what I am. And I knew that I'm doing what I literally love to do and that I don't see myself doing. And I've done a lot of things for money, you know, in terms of the hustle. As anybody, I think, growing up in Joburg has done, you know, it's not just about, oh, I'm going to make music and stay broke. It's like, nah, I have to do things and have whack jobs for me to realize, like, okay, this is something that I want to do for the rest of my life because it's the only time that I'm actually happy, you know, and that's what matters. So, yeah, I mean, I'm proud to say that I've built up like a repertoire in the career and I mean in the industry where I get to work with people that I look up to and that I work with the best producers and have the best people mixing and mastering my stuff that I call family now, you know what I mean? I've worked my ass off to get to that place and I've stayed true to myself, you know? I'm just being me and I'm not chasing after cloud or chasing after anybody like me. I actually don't care. I'm just building genuine connections with people who appreciate the art that I make and I share the same sentiments with them and building a little baby family with people who are just as insanely talented as I am.
I'm actually grateful that you brought that up about recording at your friend's house over YouTube Beats. Walk me through, you know, the grassroots level in terms of, you know, one of the initial tracks that were discovered that basically took you from, you know, recording at a friend's place to, you know, getting, you know, deals with Puma and obviously, you know, making music with the likes of Blackie and such.
My friend Saucy and I, before we dropped MK Ultra, we were a little girl group called Sousa Party and it lasted for like a year and a half maybe. And then we went our separate ways because we're like, nah, we gotta both, like, we use each other as a crutch and that's great. Now we gotta like find ourselves individually before we come together again. That's exactly how it happened. But before we did MK Ultra, obviously we were working on like on our own separate things. And I have a song called R.I.B. And somebody DM'd me like, yo, I got this crazy beat. It's not my beat, but it's my friend's beat. And I feel like you'd be the perfect person to think. And his name is G Long. So shout out to G. So she was like supporting me a lot. So I really pay attention to people who are always in my comments, always just showing me love. Like I pay attention, big attention. So when I saw his name pop up and he said, I got a beat, I was like, okay, cool. Let me give this a try. Like, know what I mean? Who am I to be like, nah, like, I can't stand like anybody getting into the DMs whether I have a beat. But like, it's a different process now. But back then it was like, unless you do support me, because I do, like, there are people that are like, yo, man, I love this song. I have these beats. Because then I know you get just the beat. You're not just trying to send me beats because you say I do music, but you actually like, taken time to listen to the music that I make and curate in like beats that would fit my vibe. So yes, so somebody DMs me. This is like after Saucy and I doing Tuesday Party where we like literally going to house parties and jumping on tables and rapping over just a YouTube beat. Like we were like literally freestyling over YouTube beats. And yes, we recorded some songs, but over YouTube beats in my friend's room. So then it started getting to a point where I was like recording properly at different studios. And so this guy DMs me, I got a beat. I say, okay, cool, send the beat. He sends the beat. I'm like, man, that's fire. I wrote to the beat at home. And then I thought, okay, let's link up. And so they were studying at SABC Studios. So that was where I recorded the song. And then a month later, somebody else was in my DMs and he was like, yo, I want to shoot a music video. I love your aesthetic. This was in 2019. And I used to work for Sumo at the time. I was like, okay, cool. Call my manager at Sumo. I was like, yo, can I get 3 hours in Sumo? Can I shoot something? Like the day before I got the master of R.I.B., which is the first song that I ever released, is the day before I shot the music video. We shot the music video in 3 hours. Next week, I met somebody from MTV in the club. I was like, yo, I got a music video that I just shot here. And everything just started there, literally. My music video started playing on MTV. Somebody actually took the audio from the music video and dropped it on SoundCloud. I'd never ever dropped the song on any platform. I mean, it's up on SoundCloud somewhere. And that's literally the process for me. That is the beginning for me. I think all my friends, where people think it started, but like RIB is genuinely the beginning for me. And I wasn't prepared at all. It just happened, you know, with like an Instagram page. Like if it wasn't for my Instagram page, so many things wouldn't have happened. And that's why I put so much effort into what I do on my social media, because I understand what an important tool it is and what an important tool it has been for me.
And obviously, you know, back when you were working, you know, three jobs, you know, juggling this and also doing the music videos and obviously studying the game that you wanted to, you know, be a part of, you ended up meeting Ricky as well, you know, in the earlier sort of stages of your career. So how did his, you know, rest in peace, you know, to the legend, how did his passing sort of make you feel?
Damn, it's so hard to speak about even now because it never gets to the point where you feel like, okay, cool, it's really real. It still feels so unreal. It still feels like, it didn't really happen, you know, but it did. And man, I don't even know how to articulate the way I still feel, you know, never mind the way it made me, the way I currently feel. I think we all do feel that way, you know. Ricky was someone that I looked up to and said, that's what I want. I want to be a creator that can be relevant for over a decade and be able to be such a big part of the subculture. And still be someone that so humble and had this like you know, like when you start in the game, it's like there's this energy about you. And I think Ricky had that like forever, you know, it's literally a forever thing. Even him like starting Cotton Fest and just so many things that he's done that's just been so iconic. And as an artist, you look at that and you're like, wow, that's what I want to be. And then be able to also still balance family life. And so, to be honest, that happening made me realize that there are way more important things to life than just the material things that I want. And that, yeah, I constantly feel like as an artist and somebody that considers themselves even a brand, you constantly feel like you have to perform. You have to perform for the world, perform for people, perform for like not just like getting on stage and singing songs, but literally perform as a human being, you know. I have to be Mani Badu when you see me anywhere out, you know, even if I'm not feeling up to it that day, even if I'm having the worst day ever, you know, and it's not easy at all. And so, yeah, just realized that there are definitely way more important things and that this experience is yours, you know, your own. Like we met in the club randomly and I was like, damn, the impatlas. And that's like, the first thing he said to me, like, when we met, was like, yo, then patla level. And I was like, yes, sir. Finally, you're seeing me. And ever since then, and I said, like, yo, I got the song. And I was like, definitely pushing, like, my last year that I worked in the club, I was pushing to, like, perform any single time I could. Any DJ that was, like, DJing in the club, then I was like, yo, play my song. Let me jump up. While I'm working, I was like, that person. I'm sure everybody in the club hated me. They're probably like, yo. Every week, I made sure I performed while I was working every single night if I could, like just all my friends. So, and he saw that, you know, he saw like my passion and wanting this so badly. And yeah, gave me the opportunity to perform at Cotton Fest 2020. And that was insane. So, yeah, man, it's crazy. You know, I'm not the only one with these stories. Like, ask anyone, with all of us have the stories. Yeah. He was the father of our culture.
Yeah, he definitely was the father of our culture. And it's really incredible hearing about how, you know, he impacted, or you know, the impact that he had on your career. A part that we almost at the end, but a part that we really can't rush past is the one where, you know, you have to keep up appearances, you know, even when you don't want to. I can only imagine that it must be mentally draining. So how do you sort of deal with that and sort of make sure that you don't get pushed over the edge?
Well, a nice example I like to use is like, you don't always have to be like Spider-Man, and some days you're Peter Parker. And so the fact that I get to just be me when I come home and separate myself from like Mani Badu, because I'm money like no matter what, but a part of being money is also realizing that like I don't have to be Mani Badu on 100, and that I am just a soul loving an experience outside of anything that I do for work. And so I give myself opportunities to be Peter Parker. And I know when I'm ready to go out and I have to be Spider-Man, I'll be Spider-Man on 1,000. So I think separating myself from my brand and from my career and realizing that I am still a human being outside of everything that I want to do has made it much easier, you know?
You know, this reminds me of something that was said by another guest artist by the name of Yashna, a really incredible female musician from Durban, who said that one of the ways that she deals with it is basically through not having friends within the industry. Purely because they also have, you know, their own demons that they're facing. And it sort of ends up being very toxic at the end of the day. So what has your experience been like, you know, when it comes to, you know, friends within the industry? Has it been good? Has it been negative in any way?
Man, friends, when I say all my friends, I meant that literally. If it wasn't for my friends that are in the industry, there's so many things that wouldn't have happened. So many moments where my name was mentioned and protected and doors opened even, you know. I don't know, man. I'm the complete opposite. I've made so many amazing friends that, like, have become my family. And, like, if you don't connect on that level sometimes, it's almost like the art literally shows, you know. Like, when me and Ricky Tyler met, we just connected as bros. And, like, the first song we made was 47Ks. And now we have a single out, a music video. Saucy and I, best friends for life. That's how I started music, was literally with my best friend. Do you know what I mean? Like, I came to the industry with someone that was by my side and, like, with the help of people that saw me, like my friends, like bringing me into the studio, and people that actually saw me just for me, you know. And even like with not Benjamin, was like, we first like just like cool, let's link music. Then we became friends over time. And now we like have a little legacy that we're going to leave, like, you know, as a producer and an artist. So I think that I'm literally quite the opposite. But I also think it's just the type of person that I am. And I'm not saying like everyone's going to be your best friend in the industry. Like, some people won't like you. Some people will just be acquaintances. Some people will just be people you just solely work with. And it's just business. And there will be amazing people that you do connect with, even if it wasn't because of work, but because of just who they are, who you are. And so I've been so fortunate to actually be able to like have those beautiful, insane relationships with people who play a big part in my career and in my journey, you know. And I think like, yeah, I mean, I'm fortunate. It's not just anybody, you know, because the industry, to me personally, I know this all bad, but like, it's a life thing. There's gonna be bad people. There are bad people. There are bad things that happen to us that even make us bad people. And sometimes we're a villain in other people's stories, and sometimes you're the angel. You know what I mean? Like, life can be perceived in so many ways. And so personally, it's like, I can't keep thinking that, oh, the industry is just filled with demons and bad people. And it's like, outside of that, there's amazing people. There are also people that are just normal human beings. And it's just the way it looks like on the outside, because it's so cutthroat, you know. But the reality of it is that you keep to yourself and you let the people that are actually meant to be part of you just come.
But I mean, you obviously must be able to tell, right? I mean, the snakes from, you know, the genuine people. I'd imagine, you know, the bigger your name grows, the more you find that there are people that would bring themselves closer to you on some, yo, you know, money bad dude is doing really well, you know, maybe there's, you know, something we can benefit, you know, from her. How do you sort of tell the snakes apart from, you know, the genuine friends?
Like, I think that, like, I just applied, like, if I don't feel your vibe in like my day-to-day life, I won't pursue anything with you, even in like my work life. You know what I mean? In life, you'll always have, there will be people that are bad for you, and then there will be, like you said, the snakes,
yeah,
and stuff. But you're gonna have to learn, you know. I don't know, I give people chances, and if I do feel the vibe is off, I'm just, you know, I follow my intuition, and I, you know, won't pursue anything with that. You know, because like, if you're bad for me as a friend, you'll probably be bad for me in my work environment, you know. But I'm also really open to being like, I'm not going to smell at the snakes, and I'm just going to like love my life for me and with like an open mind and an open heart. And if you do prove me wrong, then okay, I've learned that lesson and I can let you go and I can move on. But my cup is always half full, actually overflowing, not just like half full, but like overflowing. I know it sounds very like, oh, running through daisies, but like, trust me, I do have a pitchfork on hand. Who knows how much time any of us have, and I'm not gonna waste it on thinking anybody's a snake or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
If you do me wrong, I learn from it and I can move on. And with snakes, there's also the amazing people who do love you, you know. And I can never like just say, oh wow, there's only bad people. Like, I'm so fortunate to say that I'm surrounded by the most amazing, beautiful females. Your amount of females in the game that like back me is insane. And also, even the guys, like, a lot of bad things has happened this far to me, But I've learned that it comes with life. It's not an industry thing even, you know. So you roll with the punches and focus on the good, you know.
Very, very well said there. I couldn't have said it better myself. And obviously looking towards the future now, 2022, we already had, you know, Cotton Fest happen. And obviously Pistol Pop, you know, is what you've also released. A very massive single. So let me know what you sort of have planned for the rest of the year.
I'm dropping my debut project.
Shout out. Massive, massive.
It's been 2 years in the making. But obviously because of the pandemic and just wanted to take my time, and I feel like it's definitely a time capsule, like you said, of me and the version that I am and the woman that I was even in the making and that I'm becoming. And so it was really important for it to be exactly what I wanted it to be, and no cutting corners and settling just so that I can have anything out there. I really wanted it to be a full-blown piece of art. So yeah. I'm really excited. It's called Something That You Read will be announced soon. But yeah, I don't want to say because I'm so excited because I'm literally just about to announce the name. And I think it's very much just about, yeah, my journey into the feminine divine and definitely just owning my power.
Give me a date. Give me a date at least. When are you dropping it?
May.
That's actually around the corner, and I'm actually super excited considering you are my favorite female artist in South Africa. I'm not even going to hide that. Ever since I heard All My Friends, I was like, man, you know, Money Badu shouldn't even be in South Africa. She belongs overseas. She's just, you know, just her sound. I feel like she's underrated in South Africa. But that brings me to the question, you know, which other female artists do you reckon are doing it for you or your favorites you can name drop in South Africa?
K-Kid. Dog, Indigo Stella, Elaine is crazy. She's like over there in the world doing her thing. Shekinah, Scully Wood, Saucy. Damn, there's so many. I'm Nader Bay right now. You know, when she dropped Ingwe last year, that was crazy. Yo, dog, there's just so many. Like, We're Sleeping Nanette, Lord Kids. What? Nah, the female level in SA in the game right now is insane. But thank you so much. Thank you for saying what you're saying, though. I can't like deny the fact that like I'm just part of the shift happening in the game right now, and that I'm being so inspired by so many amazing other artists who are doing great things, you know, Dikuala, you know. So I'm just part of that shift happening right now. I feel like the narrative of like you're the best and the only one is like, now that we out here, there's many of us, like you know, and we're all the best. And we're all in our own lanes, and we're all literally putting the work into to bring across amazing music, amazing songwriting skills, and aesthetics that are just like beyond this country even. But I'm so part of this country also because like SA is amazing, you know. SA is so diverse, and we have so much growing to do even, you know, and like because of all the things that we faced and that's happened to us, I feel like we forget to like see. Like how like our diversity makes us so amazing and that we are a great country.
That is great. Now, in the spirit of closing out, to any young woman aspiring to be in the position that you're in, a position of greatness, what sort of advice would you give them?
I want to be like Kim Kardashian, be like, work hard. I think stay true to yourself and push as hard as you can to make your vision come to life and take no no's. No doesn't exist. Please, never, ever. And let nothing stand in your way of the vision. And you got this, and you got to believe in yourself, invest in yourself, and also have fun. Don't forget, it's all about the journey. It's the best part, you know. When you get to the destination, it's like, can I go back to doing all the fun things that I used to do? So enjoy it, and love yourself from the inside out. And everything else will fall into place as long as you just are really eager to put yourself forward and into spaces and places that fulfill you.
Hey, that is some very sound advice. Thank you for that, Money Badu. Please do drop us your handles where people can get in touch with you online and on social media.
Find me at Money Badu World. Please say the bad on IG, Facebook, Twitter, Apple Music, YouTube, Spotify, anywhere. Just go on the internet and bypass the the files that's out there.
Oh, that is solid. Thank you so much for joining me, Money Badu. It's been a really awesome experience. And please thank Peter for me as well for, you know, communicating and, you know, allowing me to sort of have you on the show. It's been a really awesome experience. And to you who is listening to this episode, thank you for tuning in. You can find everything on Sledge Underground at www.sledgeunderground.com. And as for myself, it's at Zwane031 on every single piece of social media. If you enjoyed the episode, be sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts and obviously a rating on Spotify. We're about to close out with Pistol Pop by Money Badu. It's bye for now. What time first they see me riding? Pull up with this stick, you up beside her. Bitches only want you when you win and queen of sides. Sitting on the fence, I sit on Willie, hypnotized her. I just pistol pop, yeah, pistol pop. What time first they see me riding? Pull up with this stick, you up beside her. Bitches only want you when you win and queen of sides. Sitting on the fence, I sit on Willie, hypnotized her. I just pissed up at that bitch. I see the snakes, I see the fakes. I see them moving, I cannot relate. I get the bass, get in their face. So get that loot, then yeah, we raise the stakes. Get it how I want it, then I really can't stop. Pull a stretch, cut to the top. Cut to the money or not. And I don't know what to plot. And I don't know what I got. And I'm in it in my face. They better catch me, I've been winning in a race. Just all I'm telling till I finish, know your place. Hit the stage, can't be caged. With the greatest, yeah, the shake. And we get the bacon, never complain, so yeah. It's the part time bitch, they see me riding. Pull up with this stick, you up inside her. Bitches only want you when you win and queen of sides. Sitting on the fence, I sit on Willie, hypnotized her. I just pissed up at that fist, but that fist they see me riding. Pull up with this stick, you up inside her. Bitches only want you when you winning, in the side. See them on the face, I see them willing, hypnotized her. I just pissed up at that fist, up at that bitch. I just pissed up at that fist, up at that bitch. I just pissed up at that fist, up at that bitch. I just pissed up at that bitch. Shooting up the hits, I'm pistol popping. Get it how we got it, it's been costly. The game is so unconscious, and this told me we rockin'. I know we gon' make it, ain't no option. You don't wanna get it started, because I'm pistol popping. All these bitches talking nonsense, they make me sick, I'm nauseous. They gotta move a caution, because I'm pistol popping on them if they keep the talking. And if they keep the talking, they gon' end up in the coffin. Pistol, they see me riding. Pull up with this stick, you up inside her. Bitches only want you when you winning, queen of sides. See them on the fence, I see them really hypnotized her. I just pistol for them, pistol, them pistol, they see me riding. Pull up with this stick, you up inside her. Bitches only want you when you winning, queen of sides. See them on the fence, I see them really hypnotized her. I just pissed up at that bitch.